morning and welcome. Thank you for being here. Merla has asked that this be a celebration of Harley's life, so we're going to celebrate his almost 95 years of living. We're going to have the service here, and then immediately after the service, we will have the luncheon in our fellowship hall, and then a little later, the family is going to go to the cemetery for a private family burial. And so we can have time together until then, and then at that point the family will be excused. We also have a couple of hymns that we'll sing as a congregation, and the Zimmerman girls are going to sing a couple special numbers at Harley and Merla's request, and so it's going to be a very meaningful, purposeful service that we have planned. So let us bow our heads and open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today in many ways with heavy hearts, but also with hearts full of joy, because Lord, we know that even at this time that Harley is celebrating in the beauty of heaven and with your saints and around your throne and with his own loved ones that went before him. And so Lord, I pray that as we remember Harley today, that we will also remember you and the plan that you have for us, if we will but come to you and repent of our sin and turn to you and receive you as our Lord and Savior. And so, Father, we come to you today. We ask that your Spirit move. We ask that you comfort us in our grief, and may our hearts be filled with joy as we remember the glorious life that Harley lived. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Supposed to read 121st Psalm. The 121st Psalm says, I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life, and the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Our first hymn is, It Is Well With My Soul.
Sorrows like sea.
Reading from the 103rd Psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like the grass of the field. He flourishes like a flower. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones, who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Reading from God's word. Now we have another special number, and the title is When I Go Home.
Shines, I'll forget every
Thank you, ladies. Beautiful music and very biblical at the same time. Reading the obituary, Harley Dalton Shelton, age 94, of Monroe, passed away on Friday, January 10th, 2025, at the SSM Health Hospice Home, surrounded by his family. He was born the son of John and Monty Dalton Shelton on February 15, 1930, in Twin Grove, Wisconsin. He was a graduate of Orangeville High School, and Harley was united in marriage to Merla Maines on September 21, 1951, in Orangeville. Harley proudly served in the U.S. Army from 1952 to 1954. He was a hardworking, dedicated man. He worked at Monroe Ready Mix as a heavy equipment operator for 42 years. After retiring in 1995, he and Merla moved to northern Wisconsin, where he worked in the cranberry marshes for 10 years. Harley thoroughly enjoyed his work there and teaching others how cranberries are grown and harvested. In his free time, he enjoyed fishing and woodworking, and he and Merla also created many wonderful memories traveling together. Harley cherished his family and made a point to stay connected with everyone. He enjoyed every moment they were able to spend together. His grandchildren held a special place in his heart, and he was proud to be their papa. Harley will be remembered for his kind-hearted nature. He was a good friend to all and was always willing to help others. He was a member of Martintown Community Church. Harley is survived by his wife of nearly 74 years, Merla of Monroe, children, Douglas and Sherry Shelton of Castalia, North Carolina, Scott and Kathy Shelton of Monroe, and Karen Cicerelli of Verona, five grandchildren, Carter and Amanda Shelton, Jenna and Kevin Conway, Travis and Tiffany Shelton, Jocelyn Garrett Kimball, and Jordan Cicerelli. Seven great-grandchildren also survive Harley. Declan Shelton, Hunter and Kendall Wild, Brennan and Aaliyah Shelton, and Jackson and Gunner Conway. He is also survived by sisters Kathy Skull of San Diego, California, and Janice Getz of Freeport. He is further survived by several nieces, nephews, extended relatives, and many dear friends. He was preceded in death by his parents, siblings, Roland Shelton, Charlie Shelton, Rose Dahlstrom, Ruth Willits, and several half-brothers and sisters. A private burial will follow at Greenwood Cemetery. At this time, I'd like to ask you all to stand, and we'll sing together the hymn Majesty, which is a favorite of Harley and Merla's, and they asked if specifically if we could sing this hymn today.
Died, now glorified, King of all.
I forgot to mention at the beginning, but if you have a story you'd like to share about Harley, an experience you had with him, you have the opportunity now. You can come up here and share. We'll get a microphone for you, or if you talk really, really loud, you can stand in your place, but you won't be heard on the social media broadcast that we have going on. So did someone in the family have anything? We'll start with you. I know you have lots, but you can't say anything. Anyone else? Well, I have a letter that Merla asked me to read, and this is from their nephew, Casey Shelton, and due to some unfortunate circumstances, he can't be here because he's serving a prison sentence, but while he was in prison, he came to know the Lord, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. And back in June of 2023, when right after Harley was diagnosed with cancer and was only given a few days, maybe at most a few weeks to live, Casey wrote him this letter. He says, "Dear Harley, there's so much I'd like to say, yet words escape me. So much I'd like to talk about, but in the scheme of things would change little, if anything, for either of us. So where does that leave us? When it comes down to it, we have what matters more than anything else and what few know or will ever experience, and that is to be in the presence of the Lord both now and for all eternity. I have thought about trying to see if we could have a video visit, but I know many people are visiting you one way or another. And although they love you and you love them, I also understand it likely comes with challenges for you both physically, mentally, and spiritually, and I wish not to add to your burden. Besides, I don't have to physically see you to actually see you. I just need to think about you in order to see you. And that sounds familiar, same way that we see God. So just to know you're in my thoughts and prayers, that putting our selfishness aside, we should have peace, joy, and celebration now and forever, and knowing intimately our Creator and what his plan is, from creation of earth and mankind to the new heaven where there is no sorrow. I know that you have always enjoyed the birds, and I find myself watching the ones around here, from the annoying sparrows making nests outside our windows with a chirp, which to me carries no tune but is more like nails on a chalkboard, to the barn swallows who, until I came here, did not know they have such a pretty song. I guess there's just as much character difference in birds as there is in people, and our Father cares, even about the sparrows. Matthew 10:31 says, "Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." And one day, our real strength, the strength of being no longer in a fallen state, but being in the state of being in strength of what God really created us for, will be fully known. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." So in bringing this to a close, I'll end and I'll say, I look forward to seeing you on the shores of heaven. Your nephew, Casey. So I would like to say that I'm here today to bring a message of peace and hope. And I'd like to thank Merla for asking me to officiate at the service today and for the Shelton family. I know that Harley and Merla have been members of Martintown Community Church, but I want to stress what an honor it is to stand before you and to remember Harley Shelton. And the purpose of this service today is to, first of all, honor our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and secondly, to honor Harley Shelton. And Harley knew the Lord Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and he spent his life serving him along with Merla by his side. And they have many, many stories of adventures that they went on as they took the good news of Jesus to different people around the country. I only had the privilege of knowing Harley for about 5 years. It was during COVID when their niece, Kathy Sue Seffrud, brought them here to visit one Sunday, and they just kept coming back after that, and we couldn't get rid of them. Harley was, when Harley was in his last hours out at the hospice house, and when the family was there, in one of our conversations, I was sitting out outside the room at a little conference table, and Jenna and Scott were both there, and I mentioned how it bothered me that we didn't meet Harley and Merla earlier in life so we could enjoy our rich friendship longer. 5 years just isn't long enough. And Jenna said, I'm not going to lie to you, Pastor Kevin. It's been awesome knowing them my whole life, and you did miss a lot. So where's Jenna? There you are. Harley was the type of person whose brain just never stopped working. Morning, noon, and night, he was thinking of ways to make something or someone's life better. And when the chatter around here picked up a few years ago about plans for a new addition, when Harley heard of it, he showed up the very next Sunday and he pulled a neatly folded piece of paper from his pocket and he handed it to me, and written on it was a drawing of his idea of what our new fellowship hall should look like. He knew exactly what we needed and exactly how it needed to be put together. My wife, Cindy, and I also have several useful household products that Harley crafted in his wood shop and gave to us as gifts, and we cherish those pieces, as I know they came not only from a heart of love, but also from bloody fingertips and other body parts that got a little too close to the saw. And we've all seen the bandages. Harley was known for working construction his entire life. He was a master with the backhoe, and he and Merla lived all over, from Twin Grove to Rock Grove to Monroe to Arizona to northern Wisconsin, but they spent most of their lives right here in this area. And Harley was one of 16 children. And it's an interesting story because his dad originally was from Kentucky, and he moved up here, and they had 5 or 6 children, and then mom died, and then dad remarried, and they had 3 girls, and then mom died again. And then he went back to Kentucky, and he found Harley's mom. They moved back to Wisconsin or Illinois and had another 7 children. So Harley is in that last 7 somewhere. After he retired and they moved up north, he came out of retirement and he went to work in the Cranberry Marshes, as I read earlier, and he has lots of stories, had many, many stories about that, but he said that there was one guy on a D6 bulldozer, and he was on the backhoe, and they would chase each other around the marsh, and they got a lot of work done. He said that guy could run a D6 like you wouldn't believe, and Harley was good on the backhoe, and they were both retired. Harley was the young guy, right? And he was like 80-something, and the other guy was a year older than him. And he loved to tell the stories. He for 42 years, he ran heavy equipment and worked for Monroe Ready Mix. There was one Friday afternoon about a year and a half ago, just after Harley had been diagnosed with the deadly cancer, that I called and I asked if I could stop by for a few minutes. And of course, Merla said that would be fine. And so I'd been to their house off and on over the last few days. And the last time I was there, before this time, Harley was pretty much out of it. He couldn't do anything on his own. He couldn't even roll over. He had to have help. And so I didn't quite know what to expect when I got there. And when I got there, Harley was sitting up in the living room in a chair with Merla beside him, and they were waiting for me to arrive. And Merla asked if I would like a cup of coffee, and I said, of course. And so she brought me out a cup of coffee, and I imagine you and Harley had one too. And then Harley started telling his stories, and he told story after story. And when I first got there, it was kind of a dark, gloomy day. I felt just a cloud hanging over my head, for not just because of Harley, but a lot of things were happening at that time. And when I walked out of that house, it was like that cloud had completely dissipated. And Harley and Merla had encouraged me, had encouraged themselves, and we laughed so much that day that we almost cried. But that's how Harley let God use him. And when I got ready to leave, I prayed with him and Merla, and Harley gave me a hug, and he said his patented, "I love you," right in my ear. And so as I sat in his room up at the hospice house with his family the other night, even though he never opened his eyes, Harley knew everyone who was in that room. He wiggled around a bit. He wrestled the covers off a couple times. And when somebody got ready to leave and to say goodbye, and even if they weren't leaving, he would thank them for coming, and then he would just lay back and rest. And one time, he leaned forward and he grabbed the bed rail and he looked me in the eye and he said, "Don't try to stop me from what I want to do." And I watched as Merla, who is loved just as much as Harley is, drew in close and peered into his face. And we didn't have to ask, but we knew what was going through her mind. 73 years of continuous companionship, always together, so much so that they didn't even have to read each other's minds, they just knew. And life will be different now for Merla. Harley was loved by everyone who knew him. He was always ready to help. He never said no. He always said yes. He made everyone feel special, like they were the only one in his life at that moment. And I'm glad I got to feel that way. And God was good to Harley his whole life. And there are so many more memories that we could share. And we will remember him, each one, in our own special way. Merla requested that I read today from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Where Solomon wrote these words of wisdom. "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to find and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." The Bible says that God has ordained our days for us. Psalm 90, verse 10, it says, "The length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have the strength, and they quickly pass and we fly away. So teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands." God gave Harley almost 95 years here on this earth, more than most, and he made the most of the time that he was given. I will always remember Harley's grin and his smile. You would say to Harley, "How are you doing?" And his patent reply was always, "Great, just great," whether he was great and just great or not. And so today, we're filled with joy and we're filled with sadness as we say goodbye to Harley. But we're not really saying goodbye at all, because his legacy lives on in his own children, in his grandchildren, and in his great-grands. And as for Christians, goodbye isn't really goodbye. It's just more like see you later. And when someone who we love passes away, our thoughts naturally turn out of curiosity about what comes after this life. When we're alive, we kind of push those thoughts away and we don't want to dwell on them because it's unknown to us, and frankly, it can be quite scary. But after Harley got sick a couple years ago, he was known to chide us by saying, "I'd be in heaven by now if you weren't all praying for me." Harley knew his Savior, and he wasn't afraid to die, not at all. And he had plenty of time to think about it, and he took life and death very seriously. It tells us in the Bible that it's better to go to a funeral than it is to go to a wedding. And the reason is because at a funeral, we're seriously considering eternity, both heaven and hell, because we know down deep inside that judgment day is coming for each one of us sooner or later. We know that each one of us will be like Harley. In our frame and this vessel that God gave us will one day be empty, and our soul will have gone on to heaven to be with the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to give account for our lives. The Bible says, the Bible talks about heaven and hell, talks actually more about hell than it does about heaven. The Bible says that hell is a place where the unrepentant sinner goes, where those who have no interest in Jesus or time for him here on earth will end up. It's a place of suffering and misery that was originally prepared for the devil and his angels, but people also end up there because they ignore Jesus Christ. The Bible also talks about heaven, and it says that heaven is a wonderful place, and the girl sang about it some, where there are no tears or pain or sorrow or death. It's a place of continuous happiness and activity and peaceful rest. Some people say that they don't believe in heaven or hell, or they don't believe in God or the devil or the Bible for that matter. And I would say that that is anyone's prerogative, because God has given each of us the cognitive ability to choose whether we want to believe or not to believe. But whether we believe in God or believe in the Bible or not, we all know down deep in the innermost part of our being, there is a knowledge that you know that this life is not all there is. That after this, each one of us must give account to someone, somewhere, for how we've lived our lives. And I know you know that because the Bible says that God has made us with that knowledge. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has set eternity in the heart of man. And we can try to ignore it, we can try to deny it, but it tends to have a haunting effect on our soul, and it won't leave us alone. Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto men to die once, and after this, the judgment. But God has provided a way for us to pass out of death and into life, and it's through Jesus Christ. He opened the way for us to have peace with God, and when we turn to him for salvation, we receive forgiveness and freedom from the guilt of sin. Our problems don't go away, but we find that God has purpose in them, and we can have peace in our souls as we deal with them. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and you will find rest, rest for your souls." And that's really what all of us want down deep inside. We want peace with God, and we want guilt-free rest for for our soul. Satan's ultimate goal for you is to steal the joy out of your life and to destroy your life. Jesus' ultimate goal is for you to live life to the fullest possible extent that it can be lived here on earth, and then in perfection in heaven. I don't know exactly when Harley first sought the Lord. I never asked him. All I know is that he loved the Lord, and he showed it everywhere he went and to everyone he talked to. And he was so thankful for God's blessing on his life. And he shared with me one time how he was at an evangelistic meeting, and the pastor asked if anyone wanted to come forward and confess their sin and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior to come forward. And Harley said he went up, and he stood at the altar, and he prayed. And later, he and Merla, with their church, I can't remember the group, but they traveled all around the country, not just the Midwest, but the North and the South and in the West and the East, and they went out on long weekends and on vacations, and they evangelized the lost. And they went with a group of people, and they had many happy, fun stories. Their love for the Lord shows, and it goes with them everywhere they went. God tells us in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, that when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And when we find him, it says that he's waiting to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then when we die, we pass out of death and into life. And there's a verse in the 116th Psalm that says, at the gates of death, God welcomes those who love him. Jesus told the parable of the two men that died in Luke chapter 16, and one went to Hades, it says, and he was in great torment there. But the other man, it says, the angels came and carried him to paradise. And his name was Lazarus. And we have reason to believe that's the very Lazarus that Jesus brought back from the dead in John chapter 11. And when his sister Martha came to him before, and she said, Lord, if only you had been here earlier, our brother would still be alive. And Jesus said, he's not really dead. And he shouted into the tomb, Lazarus, come forth. And Jesus said, Mary and Martha, if you believe in me, you will live. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believeth in me shall not die, but will have everlasting life. I can imagine last Friday night, it was about 10 after 10. Harley had been in that room up there since Monday, and the family was all around, and his breathing became more labored and more labored, and then less and less, and finally his soul slipped from his body. And we can imagine God's angels coming and saying to Harley, it's time, let's go. And so then they ushered him to the very gates of heaven itself, where it says, at the gates of death, God welcomes those who love him. And there was God waiting for Harley to come into heaven. And he opened those pearly gates, and in there was a great celebration that started then and is still going on. Started long before Harley got there, and it'll go on long after we get there. The Bible says that when one sinner repents, that there is rejoicing in heaven around the throne of God. Did you know that you could cause rejoicing in heaven around God's throne? There's a celebration going on in heaven right now. Heaven is a wonderful place where eternal peace and comfort dwell. And the Bible says that at the moment of death, God will receive you into heaven if you know him. I'd like us to bow our heads at this time. And I have just a couple more things to say. And first of all, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never really given your heart to him, like Harley has and like Merla has, this would be a good time to do that. And you can do that in your heart. You don't have to do anything religious. You just have to open your heart and say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and set me in a new direction in life, one that will lead me to heaven. I confess of my guilt before you, and I ask you to come in and live in me. Dear God, we thank you for the life of Harley Shelton. Thank you for his love for his family. Father, I thank you for his love for you. I thank you for the way that he loved Merla and his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. And Father, I thank you for the legacy that he has left. I thank you for your goodness, for your kindness, for your unconditional love. And Lord, we thank you that Harley knew in his heart that he was going to spend eternity with you. And I thank you that you too knew his heart and the love that he had for you. And now he is in your presence, and we give praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we will sing Victory in Jesus.
And heal my broken spirit.
the Lord's blessing for the meal, and then I will lead the family out, Merla and family first, and then the rest of us will fall into place. So let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you and thank you again for the life of Harley. Thank you for the love that he had and for everyone in this room, how they felt it and knew that he loved them. And Lord, I pray that as we think of his life, that it'll cause us to draw closer to you. I pray, Lord, that as we consider eternity, that we will take seriously the gift of life that you have given through Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will not give us rest until we come to the foot of the cross and leave our heavy burdens with you and confess our sins and take you as Lord and Savior. Go with us now, I pray. I pray that you'll bless the food we're about to eat. I thank you for those that prepared it. Pray that you'll bless it to our bodies, bless our time of fellowship. And Father, thank you for the blessing of knowing Harley Shelton and his family. We give you the praise now in every way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated if you'd like, or you can visit among yourselves.